Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. We were talking the other day about being fired from our jobs.
Yes.
And you were fired multiple times from your radio station.
Yep.
Hired back.
Yep.
Fired when I was hired.
Yep.
I replaced you,
yep.
And we became friends and partners, and 26 years later, here we are.
Yes.
I was fired once. I was doing the night show here at WPLR, not the Fox, but just WPLR, went to Dallas, Texas, went on radio network. I was heard in morning drive in like 42 stations throughout the country. Detroit, Dallas, Houston.
Wow, big places.
Bunch of big places.
Nice.
Bunch of small places. And a year into that run, I did a Christmas show, played a bit. My bosses didn't want to fire me, but it was at a time where ABC was being purchased by Walt Disney World, and it was a $36 billion merger.
Oof.
And the FCC got a letter from someone in Amarillo.
Amarillo.
It was signed by all the people in their church.
Oh, and Lord.
It was a big problem, and they were like, Michael Eisner said, fire this asshole.
Yeah.
And I had that on my resume for years.
Yes.
Michael Eisner said, fire that asshole.
Right. The A word.
So I tell this story recently on the air, and tribe member Scott says, hey, I've been meaning to send this to you. I read the Bob Iger book. You know, Bob Iger is now the CEO of Disney, ABC, and all this.
Uh-huh.
Says there's a paragraph in here, and he may be talking about you.
Okay.
For the next 2 days, this is when he was walking Michael Eisner through the purchase of ABC.
Okay.
For the next few days, I walked Michael through every aspect of our company. He may have been thinking he was just buying a television company, but it was so much more complex than that. There were everything from ESPN's rights deals to upcoming negotiations between ABC and the NFL. I gave him a breakdown of our radio stations. It ranged from country to talk to WABC and talked about dealing with a talk radio host who had said something controversial and incendiary on the air. There were delicate issues around Barbara Walters' contract, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
I was in that conversation.
Nice. Nice. Do you get any rights?
There's ESPN, there's right. NFL, there's Barbara Walters, and the asshole.
It's an asshole. Nice.
Fire the asshole.
Look at that. Immunity. Wow.
Yeah, it's a proud moment.
Wow.
And then Scott wanted to know what the bit was. It was a bit that was actually recorded at night on WPLR.
Yeah.
And I replayed it a year later in Morning Drive.
Right.
Oh, and that's so much.
It was a character we called the head secretary.
Yes.
And she talked in a very seductive voice, and she talked about Santa sliding down her chimney.
Yep.
Just picture her lips at a microphone in a darkened room.
Right. That's exactly right.
I am right now, Phil. That's That's right. Keep talking.
That was it. Have you been following this Gilgo Beach serial killer?
Yeah. Deal? Since before they've actually found who it was.
Right.
Or allegedly was.
Bodies were just turning up. No one knew what was happening. It's been going on for many years.
Yes, it has. Yep.
They've been finding bodies on Long Island. He was charged yesterday with the murder of a fourth person, this woman from Connecticut. She was a mother of two who vanished in 2007, whose remains were found more than 3 years later along the coastal highway on Long Island.
Yeah.
And police say the breakthrough came from DNA extracted from hair at the scene.
Wow.
A hair found on her remains is genetically similar to a DNA sample taken from the suspect's ex-wife.
It's amazing.
But then wife.
Yeah, it's
she
amazing.
She divorced him since. Yeah.
Yeah.
Defense attorney Norm Pattis on the show. Good morning.
Man, that case makes my head spin. It's made for TV. That thing is red hot. Everywhere you touch it, it's a mess, you know?
What is your assessment of the case based on the evidence that's out in the public now?
Well, here's what I understand. Ms. Brainerd Brown, the new decedent from Connecticut was a casino worker, 25 years old. She was also a sex worker. On July 9th, 2007, hopped in her car, went to Manhattan, chatting away on the phone. The next day, she didn't answer her phone, and she was missing. She's found dead, ultimately, at Gilgo Beach. As well as 10 other people, including one infant, there was an 11th person whose remains were found, but this person is believed to have died from accidental drowning. Lots of people wondering, who did this, and is it the same guy? And, you know, even authorities aren't saying that all of these bodies are the responsibility of the same person. But they began to focus on Hiraman. In particular, they got a tip from somebody. And according to the press reports I'm reading, I don't know anything about that tip. But they said that there was a Chevy Avalanche in the area, a pickup truck, a car. They did a database search and found that Hiraman owned one that was like the make and model. I believe they got the DNA match of him from a pizza crust that they associate with him, and then they found a hair match on some tape that was used to restrain the woman. So they start to focus on Hiraman here, and they focus on him in a few other cases. They get a warrant for his internet search, and he's searching, how does self-tracking work? He's searching Gilgo News. He's searching Long Island serial killer. And so they begin to think, this guy's got an extraordinary interest in this, and he had a car that looked like a car that was in the area. And lo and behold, we've got a hair match on some tape used for, you know, a sex worker. They search his house and they find hidden within it all sorts of electronic devices and photographs of bondage and torture. And so you begin to get a picture of Mr. Hiraman as a man with an extraordinary sexual taste for violence and violence directed against women. And lo and behold, women who are involved in sex work turn up missing at a beach, a quarter mile across the way from where he lives in Massapequa Park. It's a circumstantial case that takes wing, that begins to take flight in the public's imagination, because you take these data points and you begin to construct an image of a killer at work. The problem with circumstantial evidence is that it requires inferences to work. And you hear a lot of people say, that's just circumstantial evidence. Judges say to jurors every day that they charge jurors in criminal cases that circumstantial evidence can be every bit as probative as direct evidence. What is circumstantial evidence? The classic example is you go to bed. There's nothing. You see your lawn. It's brown. It's winter. It's no snow. You wake up and it's covered with white stuff and there are footprints across the lawn. Something walks across your lawn. You didn't see that something. But what other explanation could there be than those footprints? In a circumstantial criminal case, jurors have to be careful that they don't draw inferences in favor of from facts. In other words, there was no snow. There are tracks. Somebody walked across the lawn. There's only really one inference that can be drawn there, and that is someone walked across the lawn. If a man's hair is on duct tape that was found on a body, does that mean he killed her? Have to ask questions. Well, it could. That's one inference.
I mean, right. So it's like a little marble, and you put each little marble on the scale, and when the scale tilts, you got yourself a verdict.
It'd be hard
to
explain,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly that's a perfect analogy. I mean, that's why they talk about the scales of justice. So I think in a case of this sort, there'll be long trials. The cases will likely be won or lost in the pretrial phase with what are called motions in limine. In limine is a Latin term at the threshold or at the doorstep. So motions at the beginning of the proceeding will be filed by the defense to limit what the prosecution can show. And so you don't want to show what's called propensity evidence. If he's a suspect if there's circumstantial evidence in one killing, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't. Two, three, four, of course he did. That's the danger of that sort of evidence.
If you're
his, going to have to engage in some balancing about what to admit and what not to admit.
If you're his defense attorney now, are you trying to cut a deal?
No, what deal could be cut? I mean, I don't know how old he is. Pictures make him look like he's in his 50s. So what is the deal going to be? You know, we'll give him 30 years, which would be a good deal on a murderer, 20 years for a 55-year-old. That's pretty much the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had a case years ago involving a missing young woman. And, this is all public record now, so I'm not violating any confidences. It was April Pennington on the eastern side of the state. She went missing, and George Leniart was accused of killing her. I represented Leniart. And the state did at one point offer him 16 years or thereabouts if he would just disclose the location of the body. Mr. Leniart contended that he doesn't know anything about it. Now, the jury concluded otherwise, and he caught a long sentence. So maybe
that's the deal. Maybe how many bodies and where are they? But they're never going to give him less than 30, outcry, right? They can't let him ever walk the streets again, ever.
Yeah. He ain't out.
All right, what about...
I did it all. I want 5 years. That ain't happening.
That ain't happening. No. Right. Good point.
I think if I'm his... You know, I mean, the only way to enjoy any degree of success in criminal defense is to prepare every case that walks in your door as though you're going to trial. And then the state knows you're serious, and then they may invite you to deal. But in the Hearman case, I'd be preparing for trial right now.
When you have a defendant, your client, who looks like this guy, who looks like a creeper who would do it.
Very tall creeper.
Do you give him advice as to, like, hey, man, the hair, let's, you know.
Make it look friendly.
Right.
Smile.
Let's try to, you know, let's do a makeover here. Yeah. Like, this guy, you just look at him and say, yep.
Your blood runs cold.
Well, he there is that.
That's a problem.
The one thing, people have to be themselves. There's no more terrifying place than a courtroom with a jury out, because you don't know how jurors decide cases. And you get but yet we trust jurors. And we say, you know, in the case of a jury of 12, that these 12 people, their common sense, their ability to discern things is superior to that of any individual. And so, you know, and I believe they sense things in the room. I don't want my client striking a false note. Would I say, take smiling lessons, you know, ditch the hairpiece, you know, come out bald, you know. I once had a client walk into a courtroom with a Bible bigger than the old telephone books. I said, what are you doing?
Right.
Man, I'm praying. I said, ditch the Bible. Only guilty men pray.
Right.
And I felt a little bad about that. So, Hearman, I mean, how should he look right now? The world he's being held out to the world as a serial killer.
Right.
He's being held in lieu of bond. Additional charges keep filing. Should he be angry? Should he be scared? Should he be defiant?
Right.
I'd say, yeah, he should be. I could deal with that.
Yeah.
Speaking of jury.
Yes.
Our producer, Ruth, I don't know if you got a chance to chat with her at my birthday party, but she's been called for jury duty.
Yes.
Can you ask her a couple of questions that you would ask a jury? Let's just say she got called for, like, a murder trial. What are some of the things you would ask her?
Okay,
her name is Ruth.
Ruth, when you heard the charges, when you heard the judge read the charges this morning, murder, sexual assault in the first degree, kidnapping in the first degree, what went through your mind? And then I'd take whatever she gave me. When you heard those thoughts and you looked at my client, did you think that he must have done it or he wouldn't have been here? We have a
Ruth, what do you think? Ruth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Absolutely.
Right,
lock him
Ruth,
up.
Hi.
Lock him up forever.
Why do you say that, Ruth?
Because he looks very guilty.
She's not getting on that jury.
Do you think she just got herself out
of jury duty.
No, I might work with her. Ruth, okay. do you think that appearances can be deceiving?
They can.
Have you ever been wrong about a first impression?
Seldom.
But have you been?
I have.
Are you open to the possibility that in this case, the truth is far more complicated than your intuitions?
Do I have to answer that?
Wow.
Yes.
These are great questions.
Wow.
So, yeah. I can see how you're
answering. If I could show you in the evidence or lack of evidence reasons to doubt the state's theory, do you understand it'd be your responsibility to vote not guilty? If I could show you that.
Yes.
Wow.
Would you be willing to vote not guilty? Would you be willing, Ruth?
It would depend. It would depend on...
Judge, I'm moving for cause. This woman's got more reluctance than my wife did the night before my wedding, and that was a lot.
Wow, she ended up on trial.
Norm, good to hear your voice.
Yeah,
thanks
man.
For coming on. Appreciate
Great
it.
Great to hear from you. All right. Be well. Bye.
You too.
Defense attorney Norm Pattis.
Oh, he's good.
He is good?
He's good. You're
I
good,
thought,
yo.
She's out.
Yep.
A couple more questions.
Yeah.
You got him admitting, well,
yeah,
I'd have to think about it.
Unraveled her.
Very good.
Well,
I don't think he unraveled her. He asked her questions, brought her to a place that she didn't know she what could be or was.
Right.
You know? So what's the deal with all these be kind signs?
That's up with that.
Out in Brantford.
But kind of, as it is.
Yeah. What is it all about? They're like everywhere. Yeah. We got the guy responsible for them on the phone now. He's been on the show before, but we're talking to him today about the Be Kind signs. Ken Engelman. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, absolutely.
You sound so kind.
So what's the deal with the Be Kind signs? Like, did someone cut you off?
Right.
Did someone give you the finger?
Right, right.
Did you have a day where it's like everyone was flipping you off? You're like, you know what? This place needs to be reminded.
We got to do better.
You know what? I did something so bad, I got to make everybody think I'm kind.
Yeah. There could be that.
Right.
Pretty much all of the above.
Nice.
Excellent.
You know, the goal is to inspire community kindness throughout advertising on these repurposed political lawn signs. That's really the goal of this campaign.
Okay.
So if someone gives me a finger, I say, thank you. Thank you.
You know, there's a funny story about being cut off. So I was standing in Stop and Shop in Brantford, and I was asking permission of the manager to display one of the signs on their property. And an older gentleman tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, are you the fellow responsible for these signs? And I was holding a sign at the moment.
Right there.
And I said, yes. And he said, you know what? I was just cut off on the way over here. And, of course, I got angry, but I saw one of your signs, and it made me pause. So thank you. And he tapped me on the shoulder, smiled, and walked off.
That's cool.
So that is inspirational, and that is something that gave me the chills, and I knew I was onto something at that point. And so far, everyone's been very overwhelmingly positive in their responses on social media about it.
Wow. How do you, so what do you just walk up to people, knock on their door or whatever, and ask them to put the sign out? How many signs are out?
Yes. Right now, I've got about 18 or 19 signs around Brantford, East Haven, and Guilford. And I look for strategic locations with high traffic.
Are they beyond hope? Wallingford? Durham?
I just ran out of signs, actually.
Oh, okay,
I'm looking for
good.
More signs.
That's a good problem.
Right.
So are you taking donations if people want to help you keep this going?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Taking donations of signs, of the metal stands, and of course on my nonprofit Community Volunteers United page, I've got a QR code for donations. We are a 501c3 nonprofit.
This is, you know, we need more of this.
It's nice. But
we really do. We need to come together because we find every reason to fight, and it's really cool that you're out there spreading kindness.
Has anyone ever said no with a sign?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Really?
Not yet.
Not yet.
That's, yeah, that is a tough place to be.
Try Milford. Try Milford some time.
Can I put a Be Kind sign in your yard?
No.
No.
Get lost.
Get off my property.
Get off my. All right, Ken, we're going to link up to your stuff. We want to have you back.
Oh, yeah.
We're a little short right now, but we want to have you back. I think this is a great thing. We want to help you expand.
Yes.
We want to help. I'm going to donate.
Kindness.
And let's get some signs and let's put them out.
I want to get us around the state and then from coast to coast.
Nice.
So I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Let's do it.
We're going to get you in studio next week.
Yes.
How's that?
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Dave Briggs, broadcaster, former CNN, Fox News, NBC Sports, currently the vice president of business development at Can
Social Tonic. Yes, sir.
Can Social Tonic.
Nice.
Nice.
Some comedians have called it weed soda, which is fair.
Okay, it works.
Weed soda's good.
It's not easy
like
to
weed soda.
Too. Yeah.
Do you have these Stanley tumblers?
There are at least three in my house. I have two girls who had them and needed new ones for Christmas.
Needed new ones.
It's ridiculous.
We want new ones.
They work, man. They keep your drink cold for days.
I hear they are good, but still.
Well, you need to check out the TikTok video where a car burned to its core and the tumbler survived and the drink was cold.
Damn.
What?
Check it out. Wow. Viral video. They bought this woman a new car.
Here's an idea.
It's phenomenal.
Here's an idea. Lit it on fire first.
We need large ones. So you have a fire in your house, just jump in the cup.
Wow.
Save yourself.
I'm just thinking this is a great thing to bring a drink to a game with.
Yeah.
Stanley. Is this the Stanley company that makes the hammers and the sauce?
Yes. They also make the thermoses and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Are they onto something?
Yes, they are.
I haven't really thought of them as a product or a company for a long time.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep. You know, I don't think about them unless I go to Home Depot. Now people are running to Target for them.
Yep.
For so good.
Yep.
Wow. Now I want one.
Oh, no.
See?
Oh, no.
I just got caught up.
I don't see any dudes carrying them around.
Yeah.
I don't think it's your thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's a good look for you.
Yeah, we go the regular kind. You know.
Phil?
Everybody's so concerned about if the Stanley spills. But what about the milk?
This is a woman whose car burned out. It was still in the cup holder. She picks it up. There's still ice in it.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that.
I don't know if I do either. The cup looked like it was in too good condition, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we should have like burn marks on it or something. The paint should be
singed. It wasn't pristine, but it wasn't, like the handle shouldn't be there, right?
That's
like,
it. Where's the Mythbusters? Yeah.
I love that this lady put this cup in her burnt car, and now she's getting a car from Stanley because of that one thing.
You know, it's funny, though. David was on CNN, on Fox, and he believed the video. Like, don't you like
this? This is legit.
Come
Listen,
on.
Fake news? David, is that what we're saying?
Is
that what we're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Don't believe the news.
They wouldn't put it on TV if it wasn't true.
So you're on CNN? Which one were you on first?
I was on Fox first.
Fox first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did like Fox and Friends in the morning, right?
That is right.
Like
during the Obama
years.
You're
one of those friendly guys. You do some news, but have some fun.
Had a lot of fun. Back in those days, they were allowed to have fun. It wasn't all...
What days are we talking about? You look young. Like,
well, that was
how
back...
How long ago was it?
That was back 2008 to 2013.
Okay.
Fox.
Yeah, it was a fun time back then.
We were
it was a different world, quite frankly.
Pre-pandemic.
Well, we were great friends with the morning show there.
Yeah.
Steve Ducey. Ducey.
Ducey.
Ducey. great friends.
Yeah. Edie Donaghy.
Yeah, back when Edie was on.
And Brian Kilmeade.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, we went in studio a couple times with them.
Yeah, it was fun.
They would broadcast from the show. And so how do you go from Fox News to CNN? Is there some kind of...
It's a hell of a question.
...detox program?
Across the street.
I was laundered at NBC Sports for about 5 years in between the two stints.
Okay.
But thankfully, I was the same dude at both places. There are a few people who are fair journalists out there. There's another gal, Allison Camerota, who lives in Westport, Connecticut, who was at Fox when I was there and survived at CNN because she's a fair and talented journalist. There are a few legitimate journalists out there today. Not many.
Do they give you kind of like a memo when you're coming in? Like, hey, you're at Fox, so we're going to kind of look at things this way, or here are the stories.
Here's our agenda.
Don't kid yourself. It's not just Fox that has an agenda.
No.
I felt the same way at CNN as I did
at
Fox,
that
there were things I was uncomfortable saying every day.
Right.
So I think that's why so few people watch the news today.
I think you're right.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. No, because it's... They're trying to get us to fight against one another.
Did you see the stupid Iowa caucus? You know how many people voted in the Iowa caucus? 60,000. Basically the size of Greenwich. A bunch of old Iowans. 60,000. Go vote, and we act like the election's over. It's freaking ridiculous. And the media wants us to believe that it matters. Who cares? 14,000 people voted for Trump. 14,000. And we're supposed to think this thing is over?
Right.
Ooh, this is ridiculous. It's broken.
It sounds like a CNN guy to me.
Yeah, no, but
I'm kidding.
My point is, it means nothing. We should have a real state and a real election first before we determine.
No, but Biden proved the last time around it's not over. He didn't start winning until
South Carolina.
Yeah. That turned it for him. If he lost that would have been the death knell.
And that may happen with Nikki Haley.
No, but I don't even... I can't even watch, and I don't even engage with friends anymore. I don't even talk about it.
I don't either.
I read it in my own personal time. I form my own opinion, and away we go.
Yep,
you know
it's the
what
best
I mean?
Way to do it.
And they ruined me because I love news. Like, I'm a news person.
You were.
You know, I would have the news channel on in my house all the time.
Yep.
What's going on? I want to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, you're totally
I want to be able to
in.
Talk about it on the air.
Yep.
And I agree
now
with you.
Mike, I'm just, you burnt me out.
Now I have cartoons.
Yeah, now it's cartoons.
Family Guy.
I watch Suits now. Yeah, I haven't watched the news in years. Quite frankly, since I left it, I don't watch the news anymore.
So you were, Fox, NBC Sports.
Yeah. CNN.
And then you became an actor?
I was an actor while I was actually at Yahoo Finance as a financial journalist. I always wanted to make a weed drink, a marijuana drink. Since before they existed, I thought the one thing that will normalize marijuana will be when we can have it in our hand. Because our life is built around drinks.
Instead of these stupid vodka drinks. See, you should have showed up with some in Stanley tumblers.
That would have been a nice sell. But I did bring you guys.
That'd be a video.
I want to see these cans that you made.
So, this is... I brought you guys some canned social tonic.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
Social tonic?
Social tonic.
That's great marketing right there.
Is this sativa?
Great marketing.
All drinks are essentially hybrids.
Okay.
No matter what anybody tells
you. Okay. So you're not going to go down, man. Yeah.
They're kind of moderate. They're kind of medium.
Okay.
If you will.
So, 'cause I want to go up.
They're not uppers. Yeah. They're not downers.
Okay, cool.
Put caffeine in it.
Just even keel.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we've got a drink with caffeine, 100 milligrams of caffeine. It's called Thunder. So that's more of an upper.
Thunder. So we need some of that stuff. Yeah.
It's going to be a dumb question. Are they carbonated or is it?
Are you going to have one now or is it too early for marijuana drinks?
He can have one. We're driving.
I can't have one. I got kids, man. I got to represent. I got a firefighter. I can't be having marijuana drinks on the radio.
They are carbonated. Yeah, it's kind of like a High Noon with marijuana.
Gotcha.
With hemp THC. So we're in like Stu Leonard's. We're in Total Wine.
Oh, nice.
We're in Little Pub, all the Little Pub restaurants around the state.
We love Little Pub.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It's our favorite place.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome.
Good night.
On the menu there.
Nice.
Okay. You got to get
in
Brewport.
Yeah.
We got a list of places you got to call.
Well, thankfully, we'll be at the Amphitheater, the Amp, this spring and summer season. So that's going to be awesome for all the concerts.
Who'd you have to talk to get that done? Howard?
Howard is the man.
Yes,
he's the man.
Absolutely.
Good. If Howard likes you, then you pass the test.
Exactly.
Did Howard try one?
Howard did try them.
Did he really?
He's not a huge consumer, but he is a supporter of the category. He knows they're going to sell like crazy at the end.
Have you tried Jimmy Koplik? Have you given him one? Jimmy
Koplik,
Live Nation. You know who he is?
I do.
Okay. He brings all the shows in there.
Yes. So.
He's aware of the product. I need to meet with him.
Yeah. We'll make that happen.
Yeah. He'll get
Love
a case.
That.
I've had all of those, by the way. They're delicious. You can't even taste that. If someone just poured it into a glass with ice and just gave it to you, you'd be like, oh, this is a nice seltzer.
Do you get hungry afterwards?
You do get a little hungry.
Nice. It's not like I can't. I'm a baby when it comes to this stuff. Like I can't handle like a massive dose of it. It's very like just nice.
Well, what checks in the mail?
It's equivalent to what? A beer?
So our small
not at
one.
All. Not at all.
We have a 2 milligram.
I mean, like, in taste. I mean, like, do I need 6 of them to get a buzz?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're drinking these to get to like a very altered state, like
you're drinking a lot.
Yeah,
you're drinking a lot.
You're drinking a lot of them.
Right.
Well, look, we have a 2 milligram, then we have a 5 milligram. If you drank a 5 milligram, you'd feel it. After one, absolutely. I think the little ones are like a High Noon or a beer or a glass of wine.
Gotcha. So 5 milligram is equivalent to what? 7%. Alcohol?
I guess I would equate the 5 milligram to a strong IPA.
Nice.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
But the best thing is no hangover. Who was it that went on the Dry January rant on Friday?
Yeah.
That you had a problem with drugs now being incorporated
in
Dry January.
Oh, that's definitely Boss Keith.
I did Dry January last year.
Had a problem with it.
He had a problem.
Right. Okay. So can allows you to have a fun Dry January. You could still be buzzed.
You're not dry.
And make it through Dry January.
You're not dry.
Alcohol's poison. And I love
it. I had this conversation with someone I'm very good friends with who has gone through the whole process of drying out.
Yeah.
And like if you're doing a drug, you're not drying out.
But the whole point is to get off of alcohol, which is poison, right? The hangovers feel better.
Right.
And this allows you to do that. People don't make it through Dry January because they get bored. They need... You know, a little buzz. They
I was smoking
release.
Weed last this... January. I don't smoke weed, but I was, you know, on the weekends, I take a couple hits just to, like, not have a drink.
Yeah, I gave it to him.
We were talking about getting picked on, because we were talking about these Stanley tumblers.
Yes.
This 9-year-old.
And kids are brutal.
Right, and they're expensive. And
tough jeans.
Richard in Vermont.
Exactly. Rich.
Richard?
Yes. Yep. How you doing, guys?
Good. What did you get picked on for?
Oh, I was like a nerd.
You don't sound
like a nerd.
I'm definitely not really a nerd, but I was a nerd because I had a high IQ.
Do you still have a high IQ?
Yeah, I've got an IQ of about 160.
Wow. Dang.
Have a couple weed drinks.
What did you do for a living? Yeah, we'll bring that down. Just stay with us.
Keep listening to us, you guys.
We'll get you back to normal.
Yeah, but they kept picking on me all the time. Well, they found out that I was not just a little crazy. I was a tough nerd.
Oh, tough
to knock people out.
That's right. Nice.
Everybody who picked on you still alive?
Being knocked out by Dexter.
Yeah, they're still alive, but they knew not to pick on me.
They're alive. They just walk funny now.
Right.
Oh, man. This is the kind of guy who could like come up with some kind of a potion and it's like, here, have this.
He's the guy who will punch you and tell you if velocity is coming at you. Seven grand!
No, I knew how to handle myself.
That's cool.
What did you do for a living?
Well, for a living, I actually got into doing sound and stuff for bands, but I mean, but I also was a bouncer and stuff in Boston back
the person who took the IQ thing for you and said 160. Who was that?
Was that also him?
Someone in a bar.
College level professor.
Oh, wow.
I get called genius all the time.
At MIT.
What did the quotation marks? A genius. Where do you go, genius?
Because I graduated high school at 16 and went to MIT for 4 years.
Ah.
Holy crap.
Nice.
All right. Well, I would have loved to have had your problem getting picked on because I was smart.
I went to MIT. I made deliveries. There you go.
All right, Richard. Thank you, brother.
Hey, you brothers, you have a great day.
You too.
Man. Thanks so much.
Brian in Bristol.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
I got a tough skins story for you.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
We live in the hate pain.
I'll bet you David never had tough skins.
No, of course not. He's not a tough skins guy.
Do you even know what they are?
Nope. No idea.
Good. You led a charmed life.
Yeah, way before your time.
Yes.
There are pants from Sears.
Yes.
Where did you grow up, David?
The regular.
David, where did you grow up?
Colorado.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Denver.
Huh?
See, that's where you could get away with tough skins. Yes, and a
I'm sure there
hat.
Were some tough skins there. I just never saw them.
Right.
Yeah.
I might have picked on somebody for wearing them, quite
Sears
frankly.
I don't think they have Sears in Colorado.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Brian, go ahead.
Are you packing up?
As if the regular tough skins weren't enough, my mom bought me corduroy tough skins.
Oh!
Even worse.
They used to call me Corner Boy and Whistle Britches.
Whistle Britches.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great name.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, no. My whistle's...
not really.
Yeah, my britches whistle for a different reason.
That was the school of corduroys. You would just hear that noise when you're walking down the hall.
It gets worse.
No.
It gets worse.
It can't.
How?
In the summertime, guess what my mom did to my corduroys?
She would cut them into shorts.
No!
Oh, yeah.
Like an Oktoberfest. Oh, yeah. Like a Lederhosen.
Yeah. Shorteroys.
Oh, no.
You're either really tough or you got the crap kicked out of you. Which is it?
Were they like Daisy Dukes with a pot sticking out
of mine? I went to self-defense class. I went to the little cop thing there. We used to call them, I forgot what they called them, in like the ranger, junior cops in high school. So I went to that. I took a self-defense course, and I learned how to fight.
Nice.
You have to.
No choice.
It's like a boy named Sue.
Sink or swim, man. Yeah.
See, you got to thank your mom, because she made you tough.
Yeah, she did, quarter boy.
We don't do that.
No. She also gave me emotional issues.
You should have just went to school with no pants.
I used to cry in my pants every night.
after you wash the corduroys a few times,
yeah,
it gets these big fringe. These big fluffy fringes, they look like stripper corduroys.
Dude, you were the first person I've actually felt bad for that's called in.
Yes.
I honestly feel bad for
man.
You.
You're
thank you. Yeah.
No, but now you're tough.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
Whistle britches.
Whistle.
I still call them that.
Yeah, wow.
What do you do for a living now?
Yeah.
I deliver Meals on Wheels in Waterbury.
I see good
for you,
person.
Man.
You're a good person.
You're helping people who need help.
I've called with some good stories. Hey. I've called with some good stories. I carry a taser, a flashlight taser. You guys were just talking about yesterday.
Nice.
See, this is what happens when you wear corduroy shorts when you're a kid.
Can I hang out with you?
You become a badass.
I need to hang out with this guy. See my friend Corduroy.
Oh, well, it all works out.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right, guys. Love you, man. Thanks very much.
Love you, too. Thank you, brother. All right, we'll take one more. Then we're going to try these Weed drinks.
I caught a boy.
Holly in the car.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
You sound too happy. Why?
I had a sister that used to get picked on. She is my older sister. And so my younger sisters and I used to protect her. And we would turn around and we would defend her to anything just to turn around and make sure that we defended her because she was our older sister.
Like Power Rangers, that type of defense? Like you all get together and like just beat people up?
Oh, no, we would turn around and, well, we went to great lengths just to make sure that she was protected. Like, we got thrown off the school bus for fighting, and the vice principal had to bring us to school for, like, 2 weeks.
Wow.
We threw rocks at other kids, and...
Wow, that sounds like you're bullying.
It's Murder Incorporated.
Are you sure it was in the name of protecting your sister?
I carried an ice pick. I got one kid
because she did our homework.
Oh, I mean, this is kind of like a mafia thing.
Yeah. Okay, got to protect her. She takes care of us.
That's right.
The more you talk, the more you're the bully in this story.
She was a real brainiac. She did all of her homework. She was really good with money, and so we had to protect her.
Protecting your investment.
She was your Mo Green, and you guys were like,
that's right. All we have to do is punch a couple people out, throw a couple rocks, and we get our homework done.
Seriously, yeah.
Love it.
And she even did the neighborhood kids' homework. So she had a racket going.
She had a whole scheme.
So when other kids picked on her, I mean.
I get it. You would step in and take care of it.
Right. She was the ice girl.
And then after a while, kids know not to screw with your sister.
They called her Rocky.
What is your sister doing now, and what are you doing now?
Right now, she's got issues now.
Florida guy's accused of throwing a beer can at speeding people in his neighborhood.
Wow.
And then firing 3 shots out of his AR-15.
About wasting a beer.
Jeez.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you're wasting a beer.
Yeah, that's an offense in some places.
Here is Sheriff Grady Judd. Oh, is that a Florida sheriff name?
Grady Judd, that's right.
It's the sheriff, Grady Judd.
Grady Judd.
Right, that guy's never going to be like the editor-in-chief of a newspaper.
You know he's got that one parking space reserved for Sheriff Grady Judd.
The only other job he can have is, like, crazy bullpen guy.
No.
For a major baseball team.
He'd also be an attorney, a defense attorney.
Okay.
Grady Judd!
I was thinking alligator wrangler, but that's just where I was going.
Right. Or I got a strip bar.
I guess I'm thinking about the highest elevate you could go with that name.
He's it. Sheriff.
Yeah, that's it.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Grady Judd, I bet you don't mess with him.
No, I don't want to mess with Sheriff Grady Judd.
That's
he sounds like he'd be in a Rambo movie.
Exactly.
He sounds like if I was 210 in the summer, he's pulling me over. That's what he sounds like.
He sounds like the assistant to Buford T. Justice.
He could probably relate to this guy throwing the beer can and firing the shots.
Oh, no.
Probably like, all right, Billy Bob, you know, you just got to dial it down.
Yeah, I got to do something now because you don't stupid.
I just got to come over here, act like, you know, we're talking business here. Just don't do it again,
please. You need to go get yourself some Jesus.
It's like a My Cousin Vinny situation. If you're like a northerner and you get arrested and you're like, ah, damn it.
That's right.
I know I'm not getting off.
Yeah, so you're from Connecticut, huh? Yeah.
All right, let's see him get them skinny jeans off.
First things first.
Let me tell you something. David would not want to get pulled over by Sheriff Grady Judd wearing those pants.
No, he would not. Prison.
No.
Nope.
No. All right, here's the judge.
A dude speeds past his house, at least he said he did, and he throws a beer can at him. And then he goes down there and confronts them about speeding in the neighborhood, to which he says, I'm going to go get my 15. He comes out with his rifle, and the dude shoots 3 times, once in the air, twice in the ground. So he's locked up in the county jail. Aggravated assault. Felonies. Over speeders.
Texas T.
So wild.
Forget the details. Let's just get right to the conclusion. So he's locked up in the county jail.
Felonies.
Over speeding.
Swimming pools.
I think that Billy Bob shortened down AR-15 to I'm going to get my 15. 15.
Come on, 15.
You're going to meet 15.
That's right.
15 what, minutes of fame? That's a different 15.
First I'm going to shoot in the air, and I'm going to shoot twice into the ground. That's right.
So, he's locked up in the county jail.
So he's locked up in the county jail.
Aggravated assault.
Come listen to the story of a man named Judd.
Hey, I see you're going kind of fast here on this. Oh, what you got there? You wearing skinny jeans?
That's Aiden Benton.
Aiden and a button.
Out of the car, please.
Yep. You sure got a pretty mouth.
What's that in that can? You got marijuana in that can?
Oh, you're in a heap of trouble.
Boy.
You're in a heap of trouble.
We're going to have to put you in the county
jail.
Just
stand next to that car, fine gentlemen, till my associates arrive.
That'd be kind of a funny kind of a funny episode of Cops.
Yep.
You flip it around. Instead of hillbillies getting arrested, it's like really nice, upstanding business people who just are dressed well, driving through the South, getting busted.
Yeah.
You don't belong.
Yeah, cop deep South Georgia.
Deep South cops. Yep. Cops deep South. Right. Yeah, right. Cops Georgia. Right. Right.
And it's just their boots are made from some kind of an animal they shot last week.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember standing there on the interstate having
those officers.
Standing here in the water, having some watermelon, spitting out the pits, and I seen this guy go flying by the porch.
So he's locked up in the county jail.
I want to see that show. Yep. I just want to see people in skinny jeans getting pulled over by people in the South.
Put this together, folks.
So you're from New York, are you?
Oh.
Why don't you step out of the car?
And what kind of pants you wearing?
What happened to your pants? Do you not know how to do laundry?
Some kind of slacks over there? What, you like one of
your mama wash your pants?
Yeah, you got one of those Barbie dolls, are you?
No socks? You have not enough money? You got this fancy BMW? You ain't got enough money for socks?
Wear your boots.
What are you doing with loafers?
Right.
Where you go? What kind of farm are you going to work on loafers? Farm country. What are you doing here?
I see you're from a new Canaan. Right. Why they got so many A's?
Right, is there an old Canaan?
Right,
right, right. What with that pink Stanley Cup?
Yeah. What you making? Yellow soda?
Right, yellow soda.
With marijuana in it?
No. Oh. I took a sip of this and I feel kind of funny.
Let me ask you, what's wrong with just water?
Right. Yeah, you gonna wash your clothes?
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.